I am so glad you are with us today as we prepare to dig into God's Word. And I'm also glad that Pastor Joel and Andrea and their little son Oliver are here with us. So grateful that they are now a part of the Grace Point family. Pastor Joel and I have had a first great week of working together. We've had some really meaningful conversations, and we're really excited about the opportunity that we have to work together over these next few months as he transitions into the role of lead pastor. I want to invite you to make sure you greet him, welcome him as you have an opportunity to be a part of our in-person gatherings. I know you will appreciate his ministry, and I hope you'll take the initiative. Introduce yourself to Pastor Joel as you have the opportunity. Now, I want to give you a second invitation. I want to invite you to dig into God's Word around our series, Your Next Step. Now, as you are thinking about your next step, let me pose a question to you. Have you noticed the in-game reporters or sideline reporters or pit row reporters that frequent our sporting events? I think those people have one of the most challenging jobs in all of journalism. Think about it. These people are on the sidelines of a football game or a basketball game, or they're on pit row in a NASCAR race, and they are tasked with getting in-game or mid-race information. They're supposed to be sort of analyzing what's going on, and then they are asked to interrupt the people doing their job, interrupt the coaches or interrupt the pit crew, and actually find out their perspective on what's happening at that particular moment. You've seen him, perhaps, interrupt a coach as that coach is running from the sideline to the locker room at halftime. And they might say something like this: "Coach, your team is down 38-0. How do you feel like the game is going?" Sometimes the coach chuckles, or sometimes they give a gruff response, or sometimes they just run off without even answering. Maybe a reporter says something like this: "Coach, your team has recovered two fumbles, but your quarterback has thrown two interceptions. So what are the changes you're going to make in the second half to actually play better?" Or maybe your car is in 28th position. What are you going to do during the next few laps to help your driver move up the leaderboard? Now, those questions can seem a little annoying, I think, in the moment. And you see coaches and you see people on the pit crew that sometimes are polite, sometimes they're annoyed, sometimes they're gruff, sometimes they're filled with so much momentum that they say things they probably shouldn't say on national television. But I think the reporter's job is important because it helps the coach actually think about, where are we right now in this game? Where are we in this race? And then, where do we go from here? Where are we, and where do we go from here? Those two questions are important in a football game. They're also important in life. Those two questions really form a foundation for this series that we're simply titling Your Next Step. We want to ask ourselves, with the help of the Holy Spirit, where are we? In our spiritual journey, where are we? And based on where we are, what are the next steps we need to take to move forward in our faith journey? We discovered last week as we started this series that Scripture has some really powerful words to help us evaluate where we are and where we're going. One of the passages that we looked at last week is Hebrews chapter 12, a part of verse 1 and a part of verse 2. And I want to share it with you. Hebrews 12, part of verse 1 and part of verse 2. The writer says, "Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." Remember, this writer is saying, you're not running some random race. God has given you a race to run, and your challenge is to run the race that God has given you with endurance. Now, depending on your season of life and your moment feeling, you may or may not be intimidated by the word running with endurance in that phrase. Someone told me last week following the service, "Wes, at my point in life, I'm intimidated by trying to run. I'm just trying to walk the race with endurance." Well, you may feel weary, you may feel tired, You may be intimidated by the word run or endurance. You may be a person who discovers that you've actually become distracted from the journey that you're supposed to be running. Maybe you've even taken a detour from what God wants you to be doing. The reality is that all of us need to evaluate where we are. And we need the opportunity to hear the Holy Spirit help us understand what we need to do to take a next step. And I want to encourage you today by reminding you that we run the race with endurance, or we get back on track, or we get back moving forward one step at a time. We don't have to run the whole race today. We don't have to run tomorrow's race today. We just have to put one foot in front of the other, take one step at a time today. And the writer of this passage says, hey, you run with endurance, one step at a time, when you keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the one who is the champion of our faith. He initiates our faith. He perfects our faith. He sustains our faith. The writer says, you need to make sure you have your focus on Jesus. We've discovered that our first step in running the race that God has called us to run is a step towards Jesus. And our next steps are with Jesus. And think about this. Our final step is into the arms of Jesus. This race that we are running with endurance is run with Jesus. It's all about Him. The writer says you can't run this race without keeping Jesus in focus. The Apostle Paul, when he thought about the importance and the priority of knowing Christ to be able to live the life that God's called us to, he wrote to the Colossians chapter 3. He wrote to them about some of his journey, and he talked to them about the fact that he, in his life, he had been a part of all of the right groups. He was a Jew, he was a Hebrew, he was a Pharisee, he'd been a part of all of the right groups. But that hadn't helped him run the race that God called him to. He reminded the people who he was writing to in that city of Colossae, he reminded them that he had been obsessive in his following all of the rules. I mean, he says, I followed the rules so closely that I was without fault. And he reminded those Christ followers in that church, he reminded them that he had even been very passionate about what he believed in. He had been so passionate that he actually became filled with hate for anyone who didn't believe like he did, to the point that he actually persecuted people who didn't believe the way he did. Paul said, but it wasn't passion that allowed me to run the race that God called me to. It wasn't the fact that I was an obsessive rule follower. It wasn't the fact that I was a part of the right group. He says, no, I discovered that those things were equal to garbage compared to actually knowing Christ. Knowing Christ is what allowed me to actually do what God had called me to do, prepared me to do, wired me up to do. And Paul said, I want to know Christ. I want to know Him as my Lord. I want to know Him and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. Paul said it's all about Christ. That's the bottom line of our faith. That's the key to running the race with endurance. And so we start today where we ended last week as we began our series. This truth is so important for us to understand. God wants to know us, and He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know Him. He wants to know us. And if it's all about knowing God, if it's all about knowing Jesus, then how do we actually get to know Jesus better? How do we do this? Well, there are many, many things we could talk about. We could talk about digging into Scripture and digging into God's Word. We could talk about being a part of a worship gathering in person or online where we are worshiping and where we're digging into God's Word. We're knowing Christ better by experiencing this time together today. We could talk about being a part of a community group where you do life with people and you study God's Word and you share the journey together and you encourage each other and hold each other accountable. All of those things are a part of getting to know Jesus better. But there's one I want us to focus on today. I want us to focus on the priority of conversation in getting to know Jesus. Now, in the spiritual setting, we usually call it prayer. But that word prayer, sometimes it conjures up all sorts of expectations and ideas and images in our minds. And so I'd really love for you to set those aside and really think about the conversations you and I need to have so that we can get to know Jesus better. I know, sometimes when we think about praying, we think about reciting spiritual sounding phrases or using language that sounds like the King James Version. And if you use language in your praying that sounds like the King James Version, that's fine, but it's not required. Because at its core, prayer is an honest, heart-to-heart conversation between you and God. It doesn't matter if your prayers sound like somebody else who you admire. It doesn't matter if your prayers sound like a person who's been a follower of Jesus for 50 years. Because your prayers are not between you and them. Your prayer is a conversation between you and God. And so it should be unique to you and to your relationship with God. So I'd like for you to think about your conversations with Jesus and getting to know Him better with just three simple truths today. Just three simple truths. Jesus helps us understand that prayer is not complicated. Prayer is not a performance. Prayer is not something that we have to put on a good face for God. No, prayer is honest, genuine conversation. And so three quick thoughts from Scripture. We see a picture of prayer from the Apostle Paul that goes simply like this. Never stop praying. Some translations say pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And Paul is saying, your prayer should just be this natural conversation with God. It's not an event. It's not an obligation. It's not a performance. It's just a conversation with God that goes on throughout your entire day, throughout your entire life. You know, most of us probably have close by us somewhere today a thing called a cell phone. And depending on the moment of the day, you might feel like it's a blessing or a curse. But one of the things I think is so unique about a cell phone is that you have the opportunity to actually have a text conversation throughout the day with people who are close to you. So if you're married, you might throughout the day just shoot your spouse a text here or there about this or that or the other thing. Maybe you're keeping them up to date on something that's going on, or you're asking a quick question, or you're just communicating with them what's happening in your day. It's just organic. It's sort of ongoing. It's just this text thread that you communicate to that person you care about with throughout the entire day. And I think that's a great picture of Paul's challenge to pray without ceasing. It's just this dynamic communication, this back and forth between you and a God who loves you and cares for you. We need that kind of moment-by-moment connection with God. And it can just be very spontaneous. It can be you driving down the road and somebody cuts you off in traffic and your first response is, God, help me not to want to hurt that person. Help me to have a good attitude. Maybe you're going into a conversation with somebody else and it's, God, help me say the right words. Help me hear what they're saying so I can honor them and respect them and respond in a way that is honoring to you. God, I've got to deal with this issue that's really challenging, and give me wisdom. Ongoing conversations that you have with God throughout the day are what it looks like to pray without ceasing. That's one picture of prayer. There's another picture that is quite different. And it's a picture of prayer that we see Jesus show us over and over again, where in Scripture we are told that Jesus regularly would set aside specific time. Set aside specific time for prayer. He was intentional about setting aside time for prayer. And so we read in Scripture where Jesus would go up on a mountain by himself and pray. Or he would, in the middle of the night, go away from the disciples and he would pray. Or early in the morning, he would spend some time alone in prayer. Jesus set aside specific time to communicate with the Heavenly Father. And Jesus says, I want to do the same thing with you. I want there to be intentional time where we spend together in communication. I don't think there's a better picture of this than the words that Jesus spoke that are written down for us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Some of you remember these words where Jesus is saying, "I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." And then he says, "We will share a meal together as friends." That's the New Living Translation. I love that picture. Jesus says, we're going to sit down around the table. And we're going to have conversations about what's going on in your life. And it can be about anything, because if it matters to you, Jesus says it matters to me. And so we're going to talk about all of the stuff of life around the table. I don't know about you, but in our house, around the table is where a lot of the significant conversations happen. Because we're all sitting down, we're all sharing a meal together, and it's in those moments that we begin to talk about just life. When our kids were younger, we would ask questions like, "So how was your day?" And they would say, "Fine." You wouldn't get much. And so we just sort of instituted this little thing where on a regular basis, we would say, "Well, what was the best thing that happened today? And what was the worst thing that happened today? What was the high? What was the low?" And it would just get us talking and having conversation. And we just share life together. Jesus says, I want there to be this intentional time where you and I just share life together. Jesus wants to have a connection with you every moment, every day. But he also wants there to be some intentional time where you share life with him, where you stay connected with him. And that can look very unique depending on your life and your season of life. For me, I pray best when I'm walking. So in the morning, I head out early in the morning and walk and pray. For me, that's when I pray best. And sometimes my mind flits from one topic to another, and I used to feel guilty about that. But then I realized that if I was worried about it or I was concerned about it, God was interested in it as well. And so now when I get distracted by something, I just pray about that. Because God's interested. He wants to share life with me. He wants me to share life with him. And Jesus said, this is so important for you to stay connected to me on a moment-by-moment, organic, text-thread kind of basis. And it's so important for you to take intentional time with me. Jesus said, because you have to stay connected to me and you remain in me. John wrote down some words of Jesus in John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5, where John quoted Jesus as saying, you have to stay connected to me and remain in me, because it's only when you remain in me that you can produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus says, if you really want to experience the fruit of the Spirit in your life, all of the wonderful gifts of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and on we can go. Jesus says, stay connected to me. Get to know me. Converse with me. Share life with me. And when you connect with me in this way, when you really know me, when we are connected together, then your life's going to produce the kind of fruit that I designed you to produce. We need both of these kinds of prayer. We need the texting kind of prayer, and we need the sitting around the table intentional kind of prayer. One may come more natural for you than the other, but all of us need both of them. Now, you may think about those issues of prayer and those pictures of prayer, and you may still say to yourself, you know what, I've got so many questions. I still am not quite sure how to do this. And if you find yourself with questions about prayer, then you're in good company. Because the followers of Jesus, the disciples, they lived with Jesus. They were with him on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis, and they still had questions about prayer. In fact, one time as Jesus was talking about prayer, Matthew wrote it down for us and Luke wrote it down for us. The disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. You may need to ask Jesus to help you know how to pray. Lord, I just need to know how to pray. I need to know how to communicate with you. Help me do this. When the disciples asked that question, Jesus answered them. And again, Luke writes it down in Luke chapter 11, and Matthew wrote it down in Matthew chapter 6. And if you look at the Matthew chapter 6 passage beginning in verse 9, here's Jesus' answer to the question, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food that we need. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Jesus said, you want to know how to pray? Here's an example. Here's an example for you to use. Now, friends, please don't get into bondage and feel like you have to use the exact words that Jesus used. Please don't feel like you have to have a checklist where you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Please don't feel that way, because that's not how Jesus intended this to be. Jesus is saying, here's what I want you to know about prayer. Here's a template you can follow. Here's a pattern, an example you can follow. But it doesn't have to be a task list. It's just, here's what you should include and what you can include in your prayer. Jesus wanted us to know some very specific things. And so he said, you should pray, Our Father. He wanted to remind us that prayer is all about a relationship. We're not talking to some distant, detached deity who we can never know. Instead, we are communicating with our Heavenly Father, who designed us and created us and formed us in our mother's womb, who has a race for us to run with endurance, who knows us intimately inside and out, who cares about what we care about, who knows our deepest thoughts and loves us anyway. Jesus says you need to remember who you are praying to. This is about a relationship. And he says, as you pray Our Father, then you need to remember who this Father is. This is a Father in heaven, and His name is holy. He is a God who is holy. There is none like Him. And prayer is a moment of not only remembering our relationship, but it's a prayer, a moment of worship, where our focus shifts from our own circumstances to God's purpose and God's plan and to who God is. And as we shift our focus from ourselves to God, we begin to get His perspective on our situations. Rather than being consumed with our own circumstance, we become consumed with who God is and what God's purpose and plan is. And that allows us to pray as Jesus described. We pray, may your kingdom come and may your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. We pray that God's agenda will be lived out and we will be able to be a part of His agenda, that we will get aligned with His purpose right here on this earth, that we can experience the reality of God at work right here. We ask that He would direct our steps and that we would live according to His purpose and plan. As we pray in this way, Jesus said, you should pray about the necessities of life. God, give us the food that we need for today. And when Jesus actually mentions bread here, He's not talking just about a loaf of bread. That's implied. But He's also implying that you and I should pray about all of the necessities of life, because we're reminding ourselves that God is the giver of every gift. And ultimately, everything we have comes from His hand. And so we go to Him with gratitude and with thanksgiving. And we pray about our relationships, relationship that we would experience forgiveness ourselves and that we would be able to extend forgiveness to others. All of us need forgiveness and all of us need to extend forgiveness. And Jesus said, you should pray about that. You should pray that God would give you the strength that you need not to yield to temptation, but instead you'd be rescued from the evil one. Jesus is reminding us that we are indeed in a spiritual battle. There is the reality of evil in this world. And while we are engaged in going through all of the everyday activities of life and we enjoy life, we love life, there also is a spiritual battle going on. And Jesus said you should never forget that there is an enemy out there whose sole purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy you. So don't forget that. Ask God for strength and help and keep your focus in the right direction. And he said, as you pray, remember that God's kingdom and power and glory are forever. That his power will never diminish. That he has defeated death and the grave, and that is victory forever. And so we come from a posture of confidence and victory and hope, and we leave to live our regular daily lives, going from a conversation with God, knowing that we're worshiping and serving and running the race through the power of God. Jesus says, these are things that you pray about. You want to know how to pray? Then you pray about these things. You pray in this spirit. You pray in this attitude. And it doesn't have to be a linear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 approach. It can be sort of like a mind map where all of this is out there. You're just having a conversation with your Heavenly Father. And you can be talking about this and you can be talking about that. And as you share your heart and as God shares His heart with you, you are listening and you are growing and you are learning and your heart is growing in wisdom and understanding and knowledge of who Jesus is, and it allows you to run the race with endurance. So could I just ask you today, what's your next step in having better conversation with Jesus, in getting to know Jesus better? What are the next steps you need to take? I know this, whatever step you are asked by the Holy Spirit to take in the future, it will flow out of this first step of knowing Jesus. And you get to know Jesus better through conversation with Him. So what step could you take this week to have more moment-by-moment, organic, text message kinds of conversations with Jesus? What could you do this week that would allow you to be more intentional, having those around-the-table kinds of conversations with Jesus? I know this. The writer of Hebrews says that if you and I want to run with endurance, then we're going to have to keep our focus on Jesus, because our first step in this journey is to Jesus. Jesus takes every step He can towards us, from heaven to earth, from the life that He lived in ministry to the cross, and from the cross to the grave. And from the grave, He rose again. And He takes all of these steps towards us. And He asks us just to take one towards Him, where we open our heart and life to Him. Your first step is towards Jesus, opening your heart to Him. The next steps are with Jesus. And your last step is into the arms of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So I hope you will join us today in determining how you can just have better conversation with Jesus so you know Him better and you can run the race with endurance. Let me pray for you. God, we're so grateful for the power of Your Word. We're grateful for the way that it speaks to our hearts. And we pray that You would take Your Word today and then You would apply it to our hearts and to our lives. We know that only the power of Your Spirit can do that, and so we ask for Your Spirit to take what has been shared today and apply what is meaningful and what is of You to our hearts and our lives. And may we know You better as a result of this time we've spent together. For some of us, maybe we need to take a first step and open our hearts to You. For others of us, we just need to get to know You better, and we need to determine how we can be very intentional in our conversations with You and how we can be moment by moment in conversation with You. I pray that You would release us from the ideas that keep us from really having a heart-to-heart conversation with You. And may we know that we are praying and conversing with a Heavenly Father who loves us deeply and intimately, and who wants to know us even more than we need to know Him. Jesus, may we know You more this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.